Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
So I want to talk about the power of the resurrection today. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And if you think about that statement a little bit, you talk about believers or unbelievers that look at believers, and they literally, they talk about, you know, an agnostic thinker looks at the cross of Jesus Christ and they just go, "It's sheer madness. It's foolishness. What are you guys even doing? What are you doing gathering together today and worshiping an unseen God?" I mean, it makes, they have no comprehension for it. In fact, it creates a mocking spirit to the agnostic thinker, to those that don't believe in God. And they can't understand it. But to the believer, the Bible says it's the power of God for salvation. It's redemption. He's restoring you. Jesus said, "If you know the truth will set you free." But he also said, "If you abide in the truth and know the truth will set you free." In verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." This is God talking. "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." God's actually pleased. It's actually his intent to disrupt those in the world, the unbelievers that believe that they're wise. Those that walk around and think that success is money and fame and fortune and in the eyes of man becoming successful. They believe that. God says, "I'm going to fool you. I'm going to show you that you're foolish," is basically what he's saying. And God, it pleased God to make foolish the wisdom of the world. And he did that through the cross. For since, verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." I just said that, but it's the message that's being preached. Now, something that happens when you're a believer maturing in God, you know, let's say you're a believer. Let me just get a raise of a show of hands. How many of you have been saved over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? How about 5 years? There's a few more, but most of us in this room have been saved for a while. But as you grow in God, as you've walked with God for a decade or two, we always think that to get somebody else saved in our culture, that we have to be full of wisdom. We have to use wise words to get somebody else saved. We forget the simplicity of the gospel. Now, here's the thing, what I'm trying to say is that when you're walking in life, sometimes we think of reaching out to people with the gospel message, the power of the resurrection. We think that we have to come up with ingenious things to say to them to kind of lure them into the gospel. But Paul says that's not at all how it works. This is, he says, the full power of the gospel is under this heading. It's called the foolishness of God, which overturns the wisdom of the world. The foolishness of God is kind of like this. It's summed up in this. You go to somebody on the street and you say, "Jesus loves you. He died for you. And God raised him from the dead." And the simplicity of that gospel pours out power right into their soul. Now, it's still up to them what they do with it. But what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 1, he says, "I'm not coming with wise words to the lost. I'm not coming with wise words to the unbeliever. I'm simply preaching Jesus," which sounds foolish to them. And often as mature believers, we even think they're not going to listen to what I say because, you know, we think so many people in our culture have been around Jesus for so long, you know, I might tell this guy, he might be churched, you know, and often we end up drawing back from the simplicity of telling people about Jesus, that he died and God raised him from the dead. But Paul is saying that's where power is released. It's not in you talking to them and trying to show them. And so God will use all those methods, but he's saying that the power is released when we simply declare Jesus. Foolish to the world, but it's wise to God. At any time, God can open a heart. Our job is to declare the simplicity of the good news or the gospel. And so preaching this message, it releases power for hearts. Just the simplicity of the power of his resurrection. In verse 22, it says, for Jews request a sign. Paul is talking about what we do. You know, Jews want a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. So the Jews think it's a stumbling block. The Greeks think it's foolishness. And then you put all the other people groups in there. But it says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Glory only in the Lord, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. There's a lot of people that despise right now what we're doing today in the world. Agnostic thinkers, they don't get it. They think we're all foolish. But God has chosen those things to confound the wise, and it pleased him. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's the purpose. Nobody is going to ever be able to say, that man got saved because I used wise words and I'm smart and I'm wise. No, that man was saved because of the power of God and the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It wasn't because I thought of something really unique to say to them to draw them into the kingdom. And so no flesh is going to glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And that's how we should live our lives, is that we're constantly giving credit to Jesus for whatever gifts we carry, whoever we are, whatever our lot is in life, is that we're always under his authority. Now, in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul kind of continues this, and he says this verse in verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Now, Paul's talking about when he first came. He came into the city of Corinth, and he was an apostle, and he went in there, and he began to preach, and he didn't preach. What he's saying is not with excellent speech or words of wisdom, but I just am declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, Paul is making this powerful case again, that to unbelievers, you don't have to come up with crafty things to say to them. Don't forget the simplicity of the gospel. By just declaring Jesus, that he died and the Father raised him from the dead 3 days later, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and the kingdom of God is available to you, inside of you, in your heart, if you say yes to Jesus. And then he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Now, so Paul is saying, hey, for the believers that are walking in maturity, I'm going to speak with wisdom about the things of God. But yet not with the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, here's the amazing thing about the power of the resurrection. The devil would never have crucified Jesus if he would have known what happened that day. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, this glorious plan of God was instigated. I mean, all the way back, what Stan mentioned, all the way back, they were looking forward to the cross. They were taking the elements. They were doing the sacrificial lamb. They were putting blood on their doorpost and so on and so forth. And as they looked forward, we're looking back at the cross and we're remembering this one focal day where Jesus took the power of darkness and the kingdom of darkness and he took the keys back to it and he says, I'm in charge again. And now he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is our reality. When you choose him, that's who's living in you. And then it says in verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for his Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Okay, now I want to go to Philippians 3:7, and I want to show you Paul. We're going to talk about the power of the resurrection. And we often think power, like we think power for healing, which is absolutely a part of it. It's by his stripes we were healed. If Jesus took all those stripes in his body and he was never raised from the dead, it was worthless. If he went to the cross and was never raised from the dead, it was worthless. It has no power. But one man that obeyed God, the Son of God, that obeyed God approximately 2,000 years ago, we're sitting in this room because of him now, and never before has one man's death, and of course resurrection, impacted the world like it has to this point. And that's why Jesus is more than a prophet. He's more than a teacher. He's more than this, because there's a billion or 2 billion believers, or we don't know how many, globally right now that say Jesus is the Son of God. They've chosen, you could call it the right side of history, when they chose that, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They chose that. They said he is the way, and they were born again. It changed their life. But Paul talks about something even greater as the power of the resurrection. So God has all the power in the world, and the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We're called to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. We're called to be those that, when we're out with the lost, we're preaching to them the simplicity of the gospel so that we're releasing power. When we're among believers, we're using gifts of wisdom and gifts of other gifts of knowledge that the Bible has given to the body of Christ, so people are being discipled and matured into that place. We're making disciples of all nations. But Paul had something greater going on in his heart. In Philippians 3:7. He says, but what things were gained to me, that these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And here's verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then he goes on in verse 12 and he starts talking about, we're aware of this, he talks about pressing on to the high prize of the calling of knowing Jesus. But here's the true power of Resurrection Sunday, is that you may know him. And the power of his resurrection, the true, the foundational power of the resurrection, is that you have the ability, when you receive Jesus, to have him living inside of you. That is the mystery of God. In sinful, weak, broken human beings, we can literally have the great, glorious God living inside of us. And Paul said, this is the power of the resurrection. This is the great mystery of God. The people that lived before the cross, they would look at us now and go, stunning. This is absolutely incredible. What do you mean God's living in you? The prophets of old, God would come upon them. They would be anointed by the Holy Spirit. It would be like descending upon them, and they do great works. Samson did great mighty works when the power, the anointing of God came upon him. Isaiah and Elijah and Elisha did great powers, power works when God came upon them, the anointing. Prophets would speak with power, and they would hear God, but they would actually hear God, and they would speak it out, and they would do these strange things to show God's message. But now to us, we are literally living in a time in the power of the resurrection where God himself is living in us. And that's extraordinary. We can't not dwell on that, because that's what we get used to in our lives, in our culture. We just kind of, you know, we get to the point where we're ignoring it. And God is living in us. And Jesus said, those that have the new covenant are greater than John the Baptist. He said, there's not a man greater than John the Baptist under the old covenant. But he said, those that participate in the new covenant, the least of them are greater than John the Baptist. And so, you have to begin to understand who you are. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. This is literally what Paul is talking about. Is he's saying, I want you to live your life. This is what living your life by the Spirit means. He says, I want you to live your life, and I want you to wrestle your soul into obedience of God, because he knows everything, and he loves you more than anything, and he is the King of glory, and he has all wisdom and power in Colossians 2. So this is what it looks like. We're wrestling with God on a daily basis. All of us are. And nobody can say they're not, because nobody is walking in a place of perfection. We're being renewed day by day. Romans 12, 1 and 2, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. But when we have this as our highest calling, when we understand that the power of the resurrection is to know him, that means that we are taking his nature, we're depending on his patience, we're depending on his wisdom, we're depending on his glory, we're depending on his attributes and all the fruit of the Spirit that comes from submission to him, not you doing it in your own strength. That's what Paul was trying to say. He's saying, I've accomplished great things in God. I was zealous when I wasn't saved. And he says, all of that is like dung compared to knowing God. He said, rubbish, dung, whatever you want to say there. And so it's like this. Every day you wake up and you start to go through your day and you don't feel peaceful for some reason. And you go to Jesus and you start working it through. You start asking him, why am I not feeling peaceful? My inheritance is you living in me, the Prince of Peace. Why am I not peaceful right now? And you start asking God how to come into agreement with him. When we're not peaceful, it's not God's fault, because he's done everything he has for us. He's living inside of us. Does that make sense? So when I'm not peaceful, it's not God's fault. There's somewhere I'm not believing, I'm not thinking how Jesus is thinking. I'm not depending on him, so to speak. And we start working that through with the Lord to know him. And we start moving to a place where we're asking God, what are you feeling about this situation? And we're waiting on him. And we say, what are you thinking about this person? And we're waiting on him. And we begin to just soak in God and spend time with him until we come into a place of peace as we're abiding in him. That's what it means to abide in God. And I tell you, God will give us wisdom for any matter in our life, it seems in James chapter 1. Paul says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What he's saying is Jesus has laid hold of me. Jesus gave 100% of his mind, soul, heart, and body to lay hold of you, to grab you, to have you in fellowship with him, to have relationship with you. And he's saying, I want you to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And ultimately, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus wants to simply, in relationship with us, There's two things he wants us to know. Number one, the power of his resurrection is that he's living in you right now. But number two, he wants you to, your mind to be renewed to that reality so you become who you already are in him. I want you to think about that statement. You become who you already are to God. What he saw in you while you were still his enemy. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing above. I don't care if somebody says to me, boy, you are gifted, you are smart, you are wise, you've been walking with God, you're releasing the power dimension. Paul was doing all those things. He wrote Philippians from prison. And he's saying, I'm pressing on to know this man, Christ Jesus, who's laid hold of me. And when we realize, we wake up every morning, we realize that Jesus has laid hold of us. He gave us 100% and that we can begin to give ourselves back to him. This is what our hearts are longing for, in all honesty. We always think, I want peace. I want peace. And Jesus said, I've laid it out. It's all available for you. But instead of wrestling to try to find something to give you temporary peace, to reach out to the things of the world, to soothe what's going on inside of you, he's saying, come, rest with me. Sit in your chair. Lay on your bed. Go into a dark place. Put the phones and the electronics and everything away for a while and lay in my presence and come to me. I want to talk to you. And as you begin to do that, he begins to grab hold of the wrestling match inside of you. And he begins to speak truth to you. And every word he says to you heals you and restores you. He knows when to say and what to say. He's a perfect leader. That's the power of the resurrection, that the glorious God is living inside of us. And the enemy wants it to become normal and just average. He wants us to feel complacent about it. And the demonic world, God says our battle isn't against flesh and blood. They want to make those things of God be the most boring things you can imagine. Instead of going home, for example, I'm not saying any of these are bad, but instead of going home and watching a movie, which is, you know, all of us do that. Instead of doing that, shut yourself in a room and spend an hour and a half with God. The enemy says, it's boring. What's going to happen tonight? Nothing. I remember my dad used to tell me that the Welsh revival, Evan Roberts. One thing about Evan Roberts is he didn't miss, my dad used to tell me this all the time. He said he didn't miss one meeting in God that he could go to. Because he said at any time God can show up in power and release something and to do something in the meeting. That's how he was. And that's the way we have to live our lives on a personal level, is that we don't want to miss a day of not connecting to him because the power of his resurrection's inside of us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead's inside of us. God can do anything at any time, and he's just asking us to faithfully submit to him and the wrestling match in our souls to submit that to God on a daily basis. Paul gave us little strategies. He said, take every thought captive. Not just a few here and there. He said, every thought captive. When you realize that Jesus has laid hold of you, you can give 100% back in that direction. It's not religious. It's simply using everything in your willpower that God gave you to be with Jesus, to overcome the flesh, to overcome the boredom, to overcome those things. Michael, why don't you come on up? Paul says in verse 15, therefore let us, as many as mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Paul is saying, if you're mature in God and you've kind of settled somewhere in your walk with him, he's saying, don't do that. God still loves you and everything like that, but he said, let's all be of the same mind, that we're pressing on. Verse 14 again, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the upward call of God? What is the thing that God is calling us to at this level? What are we reaching for really? Are we reaching just for comfort? Are we reaching just for status? Are we reaching just for money? Are we reaching for those things? All of those things are a part of functioning in the kingdom of God, and they're not negative. But what is your real goal every morning that you wake up? Is it to know Jesus? Or is it something else? And that's where we have to settle right now. That's what Paul is saying. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And he's saying that to as many as mature have this mind. So for those in the room, I don't know if there's somebody in the room that's not saved. But here's the gospel message. Jesus lived to die. He was born to die. That was his goal. That was Father's goal for Jesus. He lived a sinless life. In Hebrews, it says that he was tempted in every form like we were, yet he was without sin. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb. He made it all the way up without sinning, of course, all the way up to his death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he wrestled with God because he said, is there any other way, God? And then he did something that he demonstrated what we do in our souls, because he said, not my will, God, but yours be done. And that was a forerunning message to the hearts of people and believers when the wrestling match in their souls to submit to God. Not my will, but yours be done, God. And then he sweat blood, and then he was ministered to. And he said, God, you're doing this, and I'm going to choose to obey you. And so he went to the cross. And it wasn't just the physical pain that was the issue. It was that the sin of the world came upon him, and all its effects came upon him. And then before the cross, he was striped. By his stripes we were healed. He was whipped with those thorns that tore flesh out of his back. And he says that he was whipped. He was scourged for our healing, her ability for him to release physical healing. He had demonstrated that on his earthly life. On his earthly walk. In many places it says that he healed all who came to him. And so he had to pay the penalty of that. And then he went to the cross. And when he died on the cross and he rose again, the Father raised him 3 days later. That is the gospel message. That's the power of God. That's the simplicity of it. And here's the mystery of it. Right when I say that, even if I'm not eloquent, if you're not eloquent when you say that, power is released into people's hearts. Conviction is released. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, now's the time. He's calling you. He loves you. If there's others here that don't know Jesus, or I mean, you know Jesus, but you haven't been really walking with him, and you haven't been really doing anything about it, and you want to give your life back to God, and you want to quit feeling complacent, and you want to start apprehending the peace that he has for you and the victory on the inside, then I just encourage you to come forward. We're going to let the worship team just play worship. We're going to turn this into a little bit of a ministry time. And the altar is open. I'm going to release all the ministry teams. If you have even pain in your body, sickness, we're going to release Jesus as healer today. That's one of his titles, his name, Jehovah Rapha. We're just going to pray for you if you have pain, no matter what it is. And so we're just going to point to Jesus Christ, him crucified. God raised him from the dead, and the power of the resurrection is available to you, and you just have to say yes. So if you want prayer for any of those reasons, just feel free to come forward right now. Go ahead, Michael. Father, we bless this time. Holy Spirit, we just release you right now. And we release the power of the God in here. the power of the resurrection of God in Jesus' name. Lord, you just knock on hearts right now. We're just going to give you time to do that. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I cast all my cares upon you, and I lay all my burdens down at your feet. And many times we don't know just what to do, so I cast all my cares upon you. Lord, I cast all my cares upon you, and I lay all my burdens down at your feet. And many times we don't know just what to do, so we cast all our cares upon you. Lord, I'll cast all my cares upon you, and I lay all my burden down at your feet. Many times we don't know what to do, so we cast all our cares upon you. Cause who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
By you, it's who I am.
just want to go ahead and just dismiss you if you want need to be dismissed. Have a great Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And if anybody else wants prayer, just feel free to come forward. So, Father, we bless your people right now in Jesus' name. We just release your power in this place. It's not about us, God. It's about what you've done for us, what's available to us in the cross. Lord, we just preach your cross. We preach Jesus crucified, and we preach that God raised him from the dead. And Lord, your kingdom is available for us. So Lord, we just release that power upon your people right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you're feeling any stirring at all, please come forward. I feel like there's some wrestling going on in the room, which is okay. That means God is going after you. If you need prayer, just come forward. Don't worry about it. God bless you.